Good morning. I actually had the opportunity to get a couple documents out of that second box there. So I'm going to share that with you to start off today. Let's see. Circuit Court of... How many went to the parade? Yeah, we'll pray for you. I had a prior engagement. I had to go to Walmart, but... It was a tough call, you know, between the two. Actually, Ryan and I were asked to be in the parade this year. Yeah, but they want us to take our shirts off and carry big swords. I don't know if you saw those guys, but they look kind of like us. Yeah. Okay, enough of that shenanigans. I don't know what he's on, but the medication he's on, I think we all need. We're going to be in Acts chapter 8. A little bit at the beginning, a little bit at the end, mainly verses 26 through 40, if you want to go to there. That's where we're going to spend our time. We're going to talk about a guy named Philip, not Philip, one of the apostles. Philip was one of the 12, not him. Instead, Philip the evangelist. Philip who's found in the book of Acts, found first in chapter 6, and he's found as one of the seven who was chosen to feed the widows, if you'll recall. I preached on that a few weeks back. Was clearly a man of faith, a man of wisdom, a man who could be counted on, and therefore he was chosen to take care of this menial, this small task. And then we pick up Philip's story as to what happened to him and where he went and what's going on in his life a little bit later here in Acts chapter 8. Now, Scripture tells us very, very little about Philip, but what it does tell us about him is extremely significant. I mean, his life really, really speaks volumes for it being such a small, small portion of Scripture. And so I hope that you will see that today as we look at it. We're going to start out in looking at some of the lessons from Philip, if you will. And the first one is this: respond to God's leading. It's easy to follow sometimes our bosses leading, you know, because they pay us. It's easy to follow maybe our spouses leading because we'll get in trouble with them. But sometimes it's hard to follow God's leading. And God tells us, calls us, says, hey, go and do this. You know, this is what I want you to do. This is where it starts out for Philip. It started out in Acts chapter 6 with him responding to the call to feed widows. And then we move here to verses 4 through 8 of Acts chapter 8, and we pick up the story of him. Those who had been scattered, this is after Stephen was stoned to death. And so that all the believers witnessed that, and they were scattered from that because that was a horrific event. We talked about that. But all the believers scattered and preached the word wherever they went. I want to stop with verse 4 because verse 4 is one of the key verses we'll look at all day long, and we're getting to it early. As they scattered, they preached the word wherever they went. Every day, and Ryan and I, we talked about this and studied this, every Sunday, you and I, well, if you're here, if you're faithful, we gather and then we scatter. The question is, what do we do when we scatter? When we go off to work and we go back home and we go back to our friend's house, or we go back to hang out with family, we go to have a barbecue, we go to do it. What do we do when we scatter? When they scattered, even in the midst of persecution and difficulty and adversity, they weren't scattering because it was a good thing. They were scattering because they were scared to death and had to. But even with that, they didn't forget their calling. They didn't forget their purpose for why they were there, and that was to share the gospel wherever they went. I appreciate that about Philip. I appreciate that about the early believers, and I think we miss that sometimes, that wherever we might go, even if that scatters in a place where we didn't ask for, we didn't want to go to, we didn't ask for this curveball in life, we're still called to take advantage of wherever that place is that God has us, wherever we've been scattered to, wherever we've been sent to, wherever we happen to find ourselves. We're still supposed to share the gospel. We're still supposed to witness. Now, here's verse 5. Philip went down to a city in Samaria and proclaimed the Christ there. Now, see, that was good because he proclaimed the Christ there, and certainly that was faithful, that was obedient, that was responding to God's leading. But the important part about verse 5 is he went to Samaria. Philip was a Jew, and for those of you guys who don't know, Jews and Samaritans, they didn't associate. That wasn't okay with them. And so for him to not only respond to God's calling, but to go to a place and a people whom, that's not who you're supposed to do it with. We have those people in our life. We said, no way, that wall's up. I can't, I'm not sharing with them. I'm not going to be nice to them. I'm not even going to talk to them. I'm going to go the other way when I see them. And Philip, as a Jew, goes to this place called Samaria and witnesses to the Samaritans, which goes against everything. And look what happens here. But he follows God's leading, and look what's happened. When the crowds heard Philip and saw the miraculous signs he did, they all paid close attention to what he said. They couldn't deny that God was active in his life, that the Spirit was working in him. Verse 7, with shrieks, evil spirits came out of many, and many paralytics and cripples were healed, so there was great joy in that city. Verse 7 is a illustration, a picture of what happens when people come to Jesus Christ. I mean, the sick are healed, the blind can see, I mean, the addicts are set free, I mean, on and on and on. When you truly find Christ, there is freedom in him, absolute freedom in him. And I've seen that in my life. You know that through my son. You know that through other circumstances in my life. Freedom can be found there. And this is an amazing glimpse or picture of what happens when Jesus Christ is doing his thing, when people are attentive to his word, his voice, what he has for them, and they respond to him. Lives are, in fact, changed for forever. So he's witnessing, but he's also witnessing in a place where he's not supposed to witness. And he's obviously having an effective ministry because there was great joy in the city, and I guarantee there wasn't joy when he walked into town. But there's joy now because, not because of him necessarily, but because of the good news he shared and because of the salvation that they have now found in Jesus Christ. And so that was him responding to God's calling. The next way he responded to God's calling is this. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south to the road, the desert road that goes down to Jerusalem, to Gaza. Why would I want to go into the desert when I'm in a place where my ministry is successful, when I'm doing good, when I'm comfortable? All things are, you know, I went to this place that I didn't want to go to, that I shouldn't have gone to, and everything is going well. Lives are being changed. How many of you get in that place of comfort, that place of, you know, all is well, you know, you get relaxed, you get, you know, you kind of let your foot off the pedal, you kind of put it on cruise control, you forget about God, you forget about the need for him every day. Philip was in that place, and God says, you know what, go down to the desert road, Jerusalem to Gaza. And he obeyed the leading. Once again, the leading, respond to God's leading. Where is God leading you to go? Philip goes ahead and he responds in verse 27. So he started out, and on his way, he met an Ethiopian eunuch. Now, we have to pause for an Ethiopian eunuch because some of you may wonder what a eunuch is. A eunuch is not a good thing if you're a guy. A eunuch is a castrated male. It's just not a good day for a man. But that's what a eunuch is. And so just so you understand what it is, don't be confused by the word. Don't be thrown off by that. An Ethiopian eunuch, he was an important official in charge of the treasury of Candace. Candace not being a proper name, but more of a group name for all of the queens of Ethiopia. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, so he had a level of faith. And on his way home, he was sitting in the chariot and he was reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. And so there's a little bit of faith there. There's a little bit of something going on in his spirit already. And so Philip responds to this calling of God. He chases after this guy. And here's our next responding to God's leading, verse 29-30. The Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot and stay near it. Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. Then he asked him, do you understand what you are reading? So here I am, I'm called for my successful ministry, I'm called out to the desert. I see this chariot going by with a guy that I don't associate with. And then God says, run down a desert road, which, you know, I don't run to the fridge. I don't know about you, but I pace myself. I have to. This guy runs down the desert road, catches up with a chariot that's driving down the road. Chariots are a little faster than people usually, unless you got a bad horse there. But anyway, he does that. He responds to that. And so you see where the sacrificial, the responding to God's leading, the unafraid to do what he's led to do, despite his comfort level, despite whether it was something that looked good to him, despite whether something looked, you know. Sometimes, matter of fact, I think most times, God wants to call us out of what would be our comfort zone and use us. If you're comfortable in all things, there's probably something maybe not quite right with your walk, because usually there's going to be something a little bit uncomfortable. He's got somebody for you or some situation or place he wants to lead you to, and he wants to use you, because usually when we're uncomfortable, that's when God can really show his strength and show his ability and show what he can do. And that's what he showed through Philip here, by Philip's obedience to respond to God's leading. He showed that he had Philip all on the way. He had this all planned, even though it wouldn't make sense to Philip. Responding to God's leading is where it starts. You know, from witnessing to going to Samaria, to the success he had in his ministry, to going to the desert, to running up to a chariot. I mean, you just see this all the way back to the widows, feeding the widows in chapter 6, which didn't seem all that thrilling. All the way through Philip's life, you see this servant that says, whatever you say, God. Whatever you call me to do, whatever you ask me to do, whatever you want me to do. I don't understand it. Doesn't make sense to me. Why would I leave the Samaritans? a big city who's in joy, rejoicing because I led them to Christ. Why would you lead me to the desert for a dude on a chariot? Not really all coming together for me. Have you been there? I've been there lots of times. And a lot of times, you know what? Then I don't do it because it doesn't make sense in my mind. His thoughts are higher than ours. His ways are greater than ours. And yet we sometimes try to, if we can't wrap our head around it, we just say, nah. And Philip didn't do that. He responded to God's leading, God's calling. Next thing is this, he showed genuine interest in the guy. It says, then Philip ran up to the chariot and he heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. And he said, do you understand what you're reading? You see, sometimes people just need us to come up to them and say, are you okay? Can I help you where you're at? You know, maybe they've lost a loved one. Maybe they're going through a divorce. Maybe who knows what that might be. They just need to, you know, and sometimes people do that, but you know, they really don't have genuine interest because they ask you how you doing, and before you can even hardly get the words out, they're telling you their story. You know, the woe is me, X, Y, Z, and you know. Show genuine interest. Open up your ears and close your mouth and say, hey, how can I help you? Can I come alongside you and help you with the transition you're in right now in life? Can I come alongside you and do this at home for you because I know your husband's sick or your wife's just given birth or whatever that is? He says, do you understand what you're reading? And the Ethiopian responds, how can I unless someone explains it to me? And the same is true for you and I. We come along with people in our path and at our workplace or wherever, and they, you know, we expect them to understand what we understand, but how can they, unless you and I open our mouths and share with them the reason for the joy that we have and the belief that we have? So he invited Philip up into the chariot to sit with him. The eunuch was reading the passage of Scripture. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter. This is in Isaiah 53. And if you never read Isaiah 53, it's a great passage. You're talking about 750 years ago, Isaiah telling us exactly about what the life, substitutionary death, resurrection, everything that would happen with Jesus Christ talked about 750 years ago. And this is where he picks up this story with the eunuch. But go to Isaiah 53 later and look at that. It's a great story. But this is what he's reading. And as a lamb before the shearer is silent, he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. The eunuch asked Philip, tell me, please, who is this prophet talking about, himself or someone else? The eunuch had questions. The eunuch had concerns. He didn't really grasp it all. And Philip showed genuine interest in this guy. And I'm telling you, so many people are out there and they're hungry and they're thirsting and they're waiting for you and I to just show a little bit of genuine interest in them. Because you see, once we've shown genuine interest to them, once we've met a need, that whole, you know, they don't care how much you know till they know how much care, that whole thing, that's really, really true. I like to know how much somebody cares before I really care to know what they know. Maybe you're different than me, but that speaks volumes when someone rolls up their sleeves and they help me do this and help me do that and they help me. I'm willing to kind of listen to what they have to say maybe after that. And that's how people are out there with us. They're wanting to see if we're really Christians that'll run out and do this and do that and do whatever it takes to kind of take care of somebody, be the hands and feet of God, and then they'll hear us. And when we do that, then we can take the next step, which is to share the good news. First, Philip did it in verse 5. Philip went down to the city of Samaria. We talked about that, and he proclaimed Christ there. But then he went in verse 35, Philip began at that very passage with this eunuch, that very passage in Isaiah where this eunuch found himself, because that was the only thing he had to read from. There wasn't a New Testament like you and I have now. He took from that very passage and he told him the good news about Jesus. He shared the gospel, and it really is good news. What Jesus Christ has done for you, that stack of all Orion's problems, that's good news that he's taken there. I have a stack bigger than that. My boxes are twice that. I'm a little older than him. He'll get there. I mean, we build on it every day, don't we? Do you not add to your stack of screw-ups and sins and stupid choices? And it's good news what Jesus has done for us. And we ought to share that everywhere we go. That's what Philip did. He was obedient to God's leading. He showed genuine interest in this guy. And with that, it allowed him to share the gospel. There's a step process that Philip teaches us on how we ought to evangelize. We don't just run up to someone and, you know, just kind of get in their face. It's not very effective that way. People just want to know that you love them, that you care about them, that they matter to you as a human being, and then they'll probably be receptive to who it is that you follow and what it is you believe in and why it is you have the thought process you have. So sharing the good news is the next step. And then the fourth one is this follow through. We see in verse 36, as they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. Why shouldn't I be baptized?" He's kind of pushing the envelope. But he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and this is why we do the water baptism by immersion, because they went down into the water, and there's other passages too, but one of the many of why we do it. And if that's something that you haven't done, you need to consider that. You need to follow through with your faith. If you haven't been baptized, be baptized. But then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. Philip followed through with this guy. He didn't just tell him about Jesus and run away. He told him about Jesus, and then he baptized him. Sometimes we could tell a coworker or a friend or a parent or a child about Jesus, and then we kind of let it go at that. And yet we're kind of called to still check in with them, follow through, send them a text, send them an email, send them a smoke signal, you know, Instagram and Facebook. I don't know what it is, but follow up with them. Say, hey, how can I help you? Are you still doing good? You know, can I pray for you? There's just the follow-up is really, really important, because we can leave them out there on that island with a little bit of information with nothing to close the deal. And giving your life to Christ is just the first step. That's not the finale. That's supposed to start the process of a joyful, abundant life with Christ from that point forward. And so follow, respond to God's leading, show genuine interest, share the good news, and follow through with people. Don't be afraid to chase after them and see how they're doing. That'll mean a lot to them if you'll do that. If you'll take the time, because we live in a world where we're so busy, we don't have the time to do hardly anything. And so when you do that, when you send a card or you make a phone call or you even a little text, which takes all of a couple seconds, it just means the world to somebody that you'd be thinking about them, that you'd be chasing after them like this Philip did, this chariot, seeing how they're doing, see if they understand where they're at in life or if you can help them understand better where they're at. So three things we see from Philip, three characteristics that we see from Philip. The first one is that he was certainly faithful. Sometimes when we think of faithful, we think of, you know, I come to church, or, you know, I help teach sometimes, or I, you know, do this. And faithful is really deeper than that, because there's a consistency level, and there's a commitment level, and there's a trustworthy level. There's something deeper for faithfulness. When we sing, "Great is your faithfulness," God, certainly, I don't think anybody would disagree that our God is faithful. Unless you don't know him, and if you don't know him, I promise you he is. If you give your life to him, he is extremely faithful. You'll never find somebody more faithful. But we sing that song, "Great is your faithfulness." We don't sing that because he's here once in a while. We don't sing that because he pays attention to us once in a while. We sing that because we know that his eyes are never off of us, that his love never runs out for us, that his compassion and his empathy and his peace and his hope and all those things just run abundantly for us. And he's looking for that from us. He's looking for a faithfulness. Philip was faithful despite whatever it might look like in his own eyes, despite what it might cost him, a successful ministry, you know, a comfortableness. He was faithful. How faithful are we really? I mean, faithfulness isn't really 60 minutes on Sunday morning. Can I say that? I mean, I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you took, I know you had a lot of things to do, like perhaps go to Walmart or, you know, that sort of thing. But 60 minutes, you know, on a Sunday, that's not the definition of faithful. Faithful is deeper than that. It has a deeper meaning. God wants us to be faithful. The second thing he wants us to be is he wants us to be available. Philip was available. He was available to do what God called him and led him to do. We talked about this one about a month ago, this attribute, when we talked about the seven chosen. They were available. Available is probably, notice I didn't say able, because able is something that we try to say, well, you know, I don't think I'm able to do that. I think Ryan talked about the different people and what excuses they gave about why they didn't, you know, I can't speak and I can't this and I can't that. And I got to tell you, I swear every Sunday because I'm scared to death to get up here, but I just believe in the gospel. I believe in the freedom that's found in Christ, and that's why I get up here and I do this, even though I can't sleep on Saturday and I can't eat on Sunday, and it's really, really hard for me. I'm passionate about it because I've seen firsthand, and I know what it does. in the lives of a family, in the lives of my son, in the lives of many, many other people that have come into my office and talked to me. And so I make myself available, even though I don't feel able. There's a difference. Are you available? Are you available to go if he says go? Are you available to speak if he says speak? Are you available to run through the desert to a chariot if he says that's what he wants you to do? Or are we just too busy with the things of life? Just too consumed that we just, gosh, we're completely able. We prove that in our secular world, in our business world, we're completely able, but we're just not available. Philip was also teachable. He was also teachable. And you notice he's spelled fat because I like fat. Philip was also teachable. Teachable meaning he knew the scriptures from Isaiah all the way up into the story of Jesus from what he had heard and witnessed. It's important that we make ourselves teachable. A teachable person is someone who gets in the word. So you can't claim that you're teachable, really, not in a biblical sense, in a godly sense, in a spiritual way, just because you watch videos on Google or YouTube, about how to do brain surgery. That's not what I'm talking about with teachable. Teachable is you being teachable in your innermost being. You being willing to be led and taught and grown and changed. That's teachable. And that comes through being in the Word of God. It comes through being in a small group. It comes through being in fellowship with other believers. It comes through prayer. It comes through being in church on Sunday. It comes through a lot of different things, but that makes you teachable. You see, it's funny, back then, when someone would preach like Jesus or any of the other ones, there'd be thousands there to listen to hear about this kingdom of heaven and this Jesus that loved them. Now we have a hard time getting people into churches or into Bible studies or into anything. And I just wonder, are we not teachable? But then I got to thinking, you know what? We are teachable because we watch a lot of TV and we watch a lot of videos. We read a lot of newspapers. And the world's teaching us all kinds of things and we're learning it. And that's not a good thing. Thus, the reason why we need to be teachable for Christ. To counteract what we're already learning. See, there's a lot of things that you and I need to unlearn. And there's a lot of things you and I need to learn. This is what Philip and the eunuch had in common. They were both teachable. Matter of fact, they were both faithful, they were both available, and they were both teachable. And it's hard to say. Tradition and history tells us, what this Ethiopian went and did, because he played such a big, significant role in his country. But God led Philip out to one man in a wagon. And this one man in a wagon who was led to Christ, it says in verse 39 of chapter 8, if you read it further towards the end, that this eunuch went away rejoicing. He takes it back to his country, and he shares this good news. And who knows the hundreds and thousands and who knows the lives impacted and changed because the servant Philip was willing to respond to God's calling. He was faithful, he was available, and he was teachable. And you know what? God has always used believers who are faithful, available, and teachable to work through. If you'll make yourself like that, he'll use you in incredible ways. And you might think, well, it's just one guy, it's just one gal. Yeah, but that one gal you lead, who knows? Who knows the people that they'll lead to Christ at their workplace, in their family, their group of friends. It's up to us to do these things, and then it's up to us to let God do the rest. Will you be a faithful servant like Philip, though? Will you respond to God's calling? Will you show interest in people? Show interest, care about people. Then share the good news, and then follow up with them. Something doesn't happen in our world. Be faithful. Be available. Be teachable. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for this story of Philip. I thank you, Lord, for his courage. I thank you, Lord, for his willingness. I thank you, Lord, for the fact that even though he had a family, Lord, he was willing to do whatever you called him to do. Even though he had a successful ministry and could have stayed and reaped the benefits from that, you were saying go and he went. Father, I don't know where each of us is at. I don't know where everyone in this room is at with their faith or with their journey. But I know for a fact that you want us to be these three things. These three things can't be separated. You want us to be faithful, and you want us to be available, and you want us to be teachable. So I just pray, Lord, that we would search our hearts and our souls and find where we're at in all that. Are we these three things, and where are we lacking if we're not? Once these three things come, we've got to respond to your leading, Lord. We've got to be willing to respond to the calling that you have in our life to go here, to go there, to do this, or to do that. We got to show interest. We got to care about people because you care about people. Never once did you pass up a person where you didn't care. Never once. We should take note of that. And we should share the good news of your son, Jesus Christ, who has taken away our sins and changed our lives for forever. And we should follow up with these people because you followed up with your people, whether it be with Peter or whoever. You chased after them, you stayed on them, and you kept growing them. Father God, work in this church, work in our lives. As we gather here this morning, speak to our hearts, and as we scatter here in a little bit, allow us to be like Philip and to share the gospel, to share the good news, wherever it is that you might lead us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.